It's always a pleasure to be able to announce our speaker. I've traveled with him in the field and grown up around him and 30-some years of life, and he's like a father to me. And I hope and pray that you're prepared to hear the Word of God as God has led and directed him this morning. So I'll give to you our brother and apostle, Don McIndoe.
Thank you, Gordon. Good morning to you each, mothers, and all the rest of you too. It's a pleasure to see our brothers and sisters from Missouri with us today. A pleasure and a surprise. It's a great pleasure to see our sister Dolly with us today. An answer to multitudes of prayers. And let us keep praying. I would like to read a scripture, three verses in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs for a text. Chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 7, 8, and 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Blessings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it is the beginning of a life filled with blessings and joy and goodness. And how do we develop that fear of the Lord? It comes with the learning that we begin with in our homes, in our first years of life. This wise man said, by hearing and by remembering, by keeping always in our heart and in our minds the instructions we received from our fathers, the instructions and the example we received from our mothers, the rules that she laid down in our homes, beginning of knowledge. We are gathered today to honor, think about, give honor to our mothers. All around our nation, men and women are doing that. On this special day, and I hope and trust that a great multitude of doing it every day. But on this special day, we're thinking of our mothers. We're bringing honor to them. Just how do we do that? You know, that's the crux of this whole thing. God asked a question of his people. He said, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. You know, all of us have had the sad experience of reading in the news. We in Arizona here have, for the last couple of years, have read too much about a young woman who has given away her child in some way or another. We don't know how. Our human frailties, it is easy sometimes for some women to forget their children and their responsibility to their children. But God goes on acknowledging that's a case, that's a possibility. But then he said, yet will I not forget thee. For thou art engraven in the palms of my hands. He was speaking to his people Israel. He will never forget them. He will never forget their needs. He will never forget their lives. And I want to remind you, those of you that have made a true covenant with God Almighty are of the house of Israel by adoption. And God will never forget you. How important that must be. You will always be in his mind, in his heart. He will always be looking for your best interest in our lives. So, you know, we don't want to just talk about all mothers. God acknowledges there are some who forget. But we're really talking about good mothers. We're talking about Christian mothers, those who know God and know their responsibilities and desire and have tried throughout the years to fulfill them. I believe that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was certainly a woman like that. Let's turn and read in St. Luke, just a few verses. St. Luke chapter 1, the last couple of verses in chapter 1. This is a time, this is a story of that time when Jesus had stayed in Jerusalem and all his family had gone, returning homeward, and it wasn't until they made camp that first night that they realized that their son was gone. And Joseph and Mary hurried back to Jerusalem, probably not arriving until the next day. They hurried back to Jerusalem. And then they found him in a temple, talking to, asking questions of, giving answers to the priests of the church. And they were amazed, you know. And there in Luke in chapter 1, in verse 51, it's chapter 2, it's not chapter 1. In verses 51 and 52, we read these verses. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In favor with God and man. Why is that? Because he went back down to his home as just a young lad, now gaining his first opportunities of individuality. He was respected now at the age of 12. As a man among the Jewish people. And he could go into the temple with the elders. And he could participate in all the activities of the men. And yet he was obedient to his mother and to his father. And Mary kept all those things in her heart. Those hidden years of Jesus Christ. We have this story of him when he was 12. And then when he began his ministry, 18 years later, those lost years, but they are recorded, you know, they're recorded in the heart of his mother. She remembers them all, everything that transpired. That's the lot of a good mother. Sad and the happy occasions as well. She remembers them all. If just one of those disciples had thought to ask her about those hidden years and record some of those things. But I'm sure that it was the will of God that not be done for some reason. I don't know what reason it would be, but for some reason. So many times mothers make great sacrifices for their children. You think of Mary, just shortly after his birth, when here in our day, in our age, mother would still be at home recovering. She had to go afoot or on donkey all the way to Egypt to protect her son, to save his life, and was happy to do it. What a marvelous thing, you know. She was always with him. The New Testament is filled with the words and the actions of the mother of Jesus, just as it is with the actions and the words of the disciples of Jesus and of Jesus himself. You know, shortly after the time when Jesus was taken to trial of his life, all the disciples except one had fled. They all went into hiding. But where was his mother? I'd like to just read a couple of verses in John, chapter 19. Chapter 19 of St. John, I'm going to read verses 25 through 27. We read this. And now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and a disciple, one disciple, John, his beloved disciple, of whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son, speaking of John. And then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Jesus, in his agony and in his last moments, was thinking of the well-being of his mother, giving honor to her, providing for her needs and her necessities, for her well-being. And she was taken into the home of John, the beloved disciple. I was thinking the other night of a story that I had never been able to forget. It's not a story, it's my story. Of a kid named Harry Nikla. He was in my first class, 57 years ago. I can't remember people I met last week, but I can't forget Harry Nikla, nor his parents. I watched him a lot of times at school when he was eating his lunch, and he brought a lunch sack. He didn't eat the cafeteria food. He brought a lunch sack. And every day at lunch that I saw him, he'd open that sack and he'd reach in there and he'd fish around till he came out with a piece of paper and he'd unfold it and I'd see him reading it several times. And then he'd put it back. One day when we were on a field trip, I happened to be sitting under a mesquite tree with Harry and a couple other boys, and he was getting into his lunch sack. I had to ask him, Harry, what is that you fish out of your sack and read every lunch day? He showed it to me. It was a piece of paper. Every day his mother wrote on a little piece of paper and then folded it up neatly some beautiful saying and some little word of counsel to her son. I know Harry. He would never forget him. And I know his mother. She never forgot him. It was an interesting thing to me. I'd like to consider another writing of Solomon, a little on the different side. In the 29th chapter of Proverbs, he said, The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. One of Harry's classmates, his name was David. Can't remember his last name. David told me one day that he got into trouble. Night before, you know, he went home. His mother and his dad were at work. And he had a new BB gun that he got for Christmas. And he shot a bunch of holes in his neighbor's garbage can. And the neighbor lady was really upset with him. When his mother came home from work that night, he sat down with her and he told her. He told her about shooting the holes in the garbage can. He said, "You know, Mom, when I come home and you're not here, it's just so easy for me to get into trouble." The next day, she quit her job. She stayed home. A sacrifice that she was making, the family was making, for a particular need of her boy. David and Harry, they grew up to be fine students. I followed some of their activities through college. Fine students. You know, I think fondly of that middle-class neighborhood where I taught school. I see somebody over here shaking her head. You know, it's hardly middle class anymore. It's a different neighborhood now. But when I began teaching school there, it was a neighborhood full of people like Jim and Wanda and Sharon and Larry, Harry, Harry's parents, just ordinary common people. His dad worked for Sears and Roebuck. But what a marvelous experience it was. But when it began to change and those people moved away, great changes took place. And I'm not going to badmouth the school where you teach now, but it's a different neighborhood. But those kind of peoples, those are the people that follow that injunction of Solomon. They listen to the wisdom and the experiences of their mother and their father. They received instruction. They carried it in their hearts. And their lives were good, solid, middle class, Christian America. That's what they were. And that's what we want to be. That's what we want our children to be. And so we all have a great responsibility. I'd like to read in the book of Ephesians, just a verse. You know it by heart. I do too, but I hate to try quoting scriptures. Chapter 6, verse 2. We're going to skip over for the moment verse 1. Verse 2 says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Oh, that's interesting. It's a commandment with promise. What is the promise? Well, you'd have to go back in the Old Testament or an easy place, you know, in the Book of Mormon. We find King Benjamin speaking and teaching his people. And this is past the days of King Benjamin. This is in Abinadi's reminding the people of wicked King Noah of the commandments, those commandments which Adam began studying with us this morning in our Sunday school. And I'm going to read verse 119, almost toward the end of the chapter 7 of Mosiah. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." That was a commandment that was given to Israel. Is Israel upon the land that the Lord gave to them? No, they're not. It was a commandment given to the peoples who came upon this land. And I thank the Lord that a number of them are still here upon the land. But it's a commandment to us. Honor your mother and your father. keep that instruction and that knowledge and that wisdom that was shared and imparted to you as a child. Keep it in your heart and let it govern and magnify your life, that this land may always be a land of freedom and a land of opportunity, a land that God had a special purpose in. And he brought a special people here, and he established them upon this land. And if we want to stay upon that land and be that people that God would have us to be and enjoy those blessings of liberty and freedom, freedom of religion, we must remember this commandment: honor thy father and thy mother. How do we do that? You know, I don't believe that's the full extent of the promise, that we'll just be long on the land. That's just the beginning of it. The reason that we'll be long upon the land is because we're living in a way that pleases God Almighty and his holy purposes. That's the important thing. And so how important is, if we honor our mother and our father, we keep their teachings and their memory and their example in our lives and in our hearts, our lives will be better. Our lives will be closer to what God would have us to be, to say nothing of closer to what our parents would have liked our lives to be. But how do we honor our parents? How can our mothers know that we honor them? Well, the Apostle Paul told us, and that was at verse 1 in Ephesians 6 that I skipped over. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto your Lord. Obey your mother and your father in all things. Sometimes that's a little difficult. Sometimes they seem to be a little unreasonable about what they're asking of us, you know. And as we get older, that might become harder and harder because we want more and more liberty to do the things we would like to do. But there is the commandment. And it's a commandment that has eternal consequences. Obey your mother and your father. Jesus is a good example of that as well. I'd like to go back to the book of John, to another story in the life of the Master. Early on in the book of John, chapter 2, I'm going to start reading with verse 1. Read through verse 4. Jesus is beginning his ministry now. He's a grown man. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they had wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said to his mother, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Well, it sounds like she's asking him to do something, and he's telling her he can't do it yet. Read the next verse, verse 5. His mother saith unto the servant, whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. Here she's looking at her 30-year-old son. He didn't give her an answer that she would have liked, perhaps. But she is so accustomed for 30 years of him doing what she asked. She just turns to the servant and says, do whatever he tells you. She knew that he would be obedient to her desire, to that need of the moment. What a wonderful example that is. Not a 12-year-old, they have a hard time being obedient to their parents. Not an 18-year-old, they have a hard time, harder perhaps. or 28-year-old, no matter what. Here was a 30-year-old man still listening to the ideas and the desires of his mother and fulfilling them. What a wonderful example that is. I often think about this expression of Thomas Edison. He wrote about his mother long after she passed away. And he said, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence that had lasted all my life." I find that interesting. And we say things, you know, like that. I've heard many of my brothers and sisters giving honor to their parents by the things they say. How many times have you heard Brother Jay stand in the pulpit and preach a sermon and mention his mother or his father and the influence they had on his life, bringing honor to them? But they're gone. And how important it might be that we do it while we're alive. And as I thought of that, you know, I couldn't help but think of a poem that a young lady gave me a couple of years ago. This young lady's name is Maibi Cepeda. She lives in Honduras. She's a Spanish speaker. You know, when Brother Tommy was here with you here after the conference, I believe that he's talked to you about their school, what they have down there in Honduras. A lot of people would wonder, well, you know, is a school taught by a couple of non-professional teachers, could it really be productive and beneficial? Well, I find this poem an example of how beneficial the schooling is. This is a girl who's a Spanish speaker who started learning a little English when she was well along in years and attends that school. It's untitled. "If you're ever going to love me now while I can know all the sweet and tender feelings from which real affections flow. Love me now while I'm living. Do not wait till I'm gone and then chisel it in marble, warm, loving words on ice-cold stone. If you have sweet thoughts about me, why not whisper them to me? Don't you know 'twould make me happy as glad can be? If you wait till I'm sleeping, ne'er to waken here again, there'll be walls of earth between us, and I couldn't hear you then. There are tender hearts all around us who are thirsting for our love. Why withhold from them what nature makes them crave all else above? So then, if you love me any, if it's but a little bit, let me know it now while living, and I can own and treasure it." A beautiful thought there. Important. Honor your mothers and your fathers. But how nice and wonderful if we can do it while they're still with us. How important that we do it while they're still with us. I'd like to read a little counsel of the Apostle Paul to young men and women, but he was writing to a young man. He's writing to Timothy. So I'm reading in 1 Timothy. I'm reading in chapter 5, just the first two verses. He's talking to a young man. I don't know, maybe the age of some of you, maybe in his early 20s. This is what he says: "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Now, you know, that's quite a challenge the Apostle Paul is giving us. Treat your elderly as you would your father and your mother. That kind of gives us all a little bit of added responsibility, doesn't it? Not only to honor our own mother, father, but others in our midst as well. I had a little experience of that the other day. I got a notification in the mail Wednesday. Thursday, I read it. They said I got to cut down everything that's growing out over my property line. Well, I got three big trees growing out over my property line. And I got to do it by next Tuesday. And I didn't know how in the world I was going to get that done, but I started in on Friday morning. And the first thing in the morning, here comes my grandson over. And he took the chainsaw away from me and cut off all those big branches of that mesquite tree and filled the whole street up with branches. So now, you know, he helped me haul them up on the land out of the street, and now I got to cut them all up and do something with them. And first thing you know, Zachary shows up, gives me a hand. And then Nathan and Andrew. This job I thought might take me 2 days. It was done by noon. Wonderful. What a wonderful blessing. How much I really appreciated it. And there are all kinds of things like this we can do and should be doing for those about us, treating our young brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters, beloved brothers and sisters, treating our elderly men like we would our father, elderly women like we would our mother, giving honor to them while they're still alive. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful thought. A little side aspect here, you know, that when I think about giving honor to them, speaking of them highly, as we've heard people do, makes me think of a little side issue that we might want to remember. How nice it would be to speak kindly to them. Not only to speak kindly of them, but to speak kindly to them. I'd like to read a few verses in the book of Ruth. Early on in the Bible, right after the book of Judges, in chapter 1, you know that Ruth was a young woman who was married to a man who had passed away. And his brother had passed away and left these two women who were from Moab, left them widows. And now their mother was going to return home to Israel. She told her daughter-in-laws, "You go back to your families and your people in Moab." And one of them left and returned to her family home. But Ruth remained. And I'm reading here in verse 15. And again, Naomi turned to Ruth and says, "Go on back to your people. What can you expect here with me, you know?" And now we read this in verse 15. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Do you suppose that Naomi will ever be able to forget those words of her daughter-in-law? I doubt it. I imagine they'd stay with her all her life, bringing a joy and a happiness, a blessing into her life, knowing that she had an influence, a good influence on this young woman, and that she had a place in that young woman's heart What a marvelous blessing. Perhaps many of us have purchased some special gift for our mother. Did you think carefully about what gift she would really appreciate? I suppose that's what we should always do. Think carefully about what gift she would really appreciate. What gift they might most enjoy. Well, I'm going to close this morning with the words of Solomon, this wise man, as he endeavors to answer that question. I'm reading in chapter 23 a few verses. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. There's nothing you can give your mother, no gift you can give her greater than growing to be a responsible, dependable Christian man or woman, fulfilling all your responsibilities in the family of Christ. God bless us each to that occasion.